First Batman, then Superman, X-Men, Thor, Deadpool, Ant-Man, Quicksilver, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Black Panther, Captain Marvel, Captain Boomerang. Where does it end? The superhero movie has become ubiquitous, and with a new picture coming out practically every week, isn't it getting a bit tiring? Today on the show, we're investigating the new Justice League movie and the idea of superhero fatigue. Hello, Laurier. This is the Cordcast. Hi, Lori. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Cordcast. Because there's been some controversy across campus this past week, we're going to begin the program with a new section, Letters to the Editor. This is presented by the Cord's Editor-in-Chief, Curtis Rideout.
Ensuing the controversial debate that's been taking place on campus over the past few weeks involving Lindsay Shepherd showing a clip of Jordan Peterson in class, we've received a lot of feedback and we've received some letters to the editor, and we thought that this would be the perfect place to showcase some of them. So without further ado, I'd like to read you a letter to the editor from Dr. Paul Jessup, Vice President Academic Acting for Wilfrid Laurier University, titled Reply, Controversy Erupts After Laurier TA Shows Jordan Peterson Clip in Lesson Plan, dated November 15th. Wilfrid Laurier University understands the public interest in this matter. The issues involved are complex and worthy of discussion, as indicated by the media attention. The university is constrained from commenting on the personal matters involved. As a responsible employer and educational institution, we are determined to gather all the facts and then assess them in a deliberate and fair manner. To this end, we are engaging in a neutral third-party professional to speak with those involved and gather the facts of the situation. All parties involved have access to a variety of university supports normally provided for students and employees. Laurier is committed to fostering a learning environment that is open and challenging, protects academic freedom and freedom of expression, as well as being welcoming, supportive, and respectful of human rights. Supporting these values in a world that is changing and increasingly polarized is a challenge that Laurier welcomes and, along with many other universities, is working hard to address. So our second letter comes to us from Toby Finlay. Toby is administrator for the WLU Rainbow Center and also a student here at Laurier. So the message goes as follows. Laurier has found itself at the center of a controversy around transphobia and freedom of speech. As a non-binary trans student and administrator of the WLU Rainbow Center, I've been disheartened by the ways that this issue has been taken up in the media. Characterizing debates about the validity of trans identities and pronouns as neutral or even-handed is a misrepresentation of the power relations inherent in these discussions. In these debates, trans people are tasked with defending our humanity against arguments that invalidate our experiences of gender. This means that our reality as trans people is contingent on our ability to argue against transphobic denials of our existence. We must understand how these debates enact and perpetuate violence against trans people. Trans people's experience is routinely denied as pathological or invalid, making it difficult for many trans people to understand their gender identity. According to a 2015 study, two-thirds of trans youth in Canada have engaged in self-harm, and one-third have attempted suicide. The impacts of transphobic speech in contributing to this violence must be considered. These debates about the validity of trans people and the way they have been portrayed in the media have created a campus climate that is profoundly unsafe for trans students at Laurier. Trans students are being harassed in hallways and classrooms while our safe spaces, including the Rainbow Center, are being targeted by antagonizing posters and emails. We all have a responsibility to create a learning environment that includes and supports trans students.
If you'd like to have your voice heard, you can send an email to editor@thecord.ca. Or you can submit one online through thecord.ca/submit-letter-editor. Letters to the editor may not exceed 250 words and must be submitted by midnight on Monday to be printed in the following Wednesday issue of The Cord. Along with your letter, please include your position within the Laurier community and your name. The editor-in-chief reserves the right to edit letters to the editor for grammar, spelling, clarity, or length, and the editor-in-chief reserves the right to not publish letters to the editor. Following this, we move into the regular portions of the program. This week, I sat down with a panel of our editorial staff to discuss a few pertinent topics that appear in the latest issue of The Cord. But before we begin, just be advised the opinions expressed in this program are those of the individual speaking and do not necessarily reflect the intentions of the content or the opinions of any other members of The Cord's staff or volunteers. This program was recorded on November the 19th, 2017. Hi, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of The Chordcast, the Chord Weekly Podcast. As always, I am joined by a panel of our editorial staff. Why don't you guys take a moment to introduce yourselves? Who's here with me today?
I'm Cheyenne MacDonald, the Arts and Life Editor.
I'm Emily Waitson, I'm the Opinion Editor.
I am Garrison Osterhoff, the Web Director.
Awesome. And I am, of course, Carlos Wild, the Features Editor and always host of the program. So, obviously, every week we put out an issue of the Chord Weekly, and there's always some great stuff in there. I know we've got an article this week about Dungeons and Dragons that I'm looking forward to reading. But what else is in the issue, Garrison?
There's a great sports article Danny wrote about a Laurier player that is the fifth Laurier player to receive the most valuable player from the OUA.
That'll be cool. What else is in there, Emily?
My volunteer writer, Adina, is going to be writing about gun control in the U.S., and I think it's going to be a really good piece because she's covering both sides of the issue, and she's going to be going over the pros and cons of both, so I think that'll be really interesting.
Nice. And Cheyenne?
I'm writing about Matcha Madness. Man, Brendan Chow, had a pop-up store for Matcha on Saturday, so I'm talking about that.
Interesting. Did you go to that event?
No.
Okay.
I was sick. I stayed home.
Are you guys fans of matcha green tea? Do you guys drink that at all? Have you ever tasted it?
I have not.
I'm not a fan of the taste. I'm just a fan of the benefits that people say it has.
That's fair, yeah. I'm not a fan of the price. So.
Yeah, oh, it's so expensive. It's ridiculous.
Well, let's keep on moving. Let's get into the program. I'm going to keep things casual here. Obviously, Cheyenne wrote an article this week about the Justice League movie that came out this past weekend and flopped at the box office. Like, it made just over half the amount that Batman vs. Superman made in its opening weekend. That was like 160 million. This is like 90. And I mean, sure, that's a big opening, but this movie does not deserve any of that money. This movie is garbage. This is my personal opinion here. I just want to make that very clear. Did any of you, Garrison, Emily, you didn't see the movie
this
weekend?
I didn't see it. No, I saw Thor. That's what I saw.
You saw Thor, okay. Yeah. And did you see any superhero movies lately, Garrison?
I haven't. I've been following the ones that have come through and come out recently. So I think I have a pretty neutral perspective because I haven't seen them, but I've heard from a lot of different opinions.
Okay, and Cheyenne, you saw the Justice League.
I did. Yeah. I loved it.
Now, let's save that for the article, which is definitely worth checking out. Cheyenne's got some great opinions, so I'm sure she's going to make some good points. I haven't had a chance to read her article yet. But I'm looking forward to it and picking it apart and telling her that she's wrong because this movie is terrible. But let's kind of talk about superhero movies a little bit more in general there. Do you guys see a lot of superhero movies?
Yeah, I generally do. I keep up with them if I can. Yeah.
Like, you try to watch all the superhero movies? Why do you like superhero movies?
I don't know what it is. I'm not like these two here who I know are very dedicated to like a lot of superhero things, especially Batman.
Right.
But I do, I don't know, they're fun and I think they have good story to them if they're done right. And I just think that the ones that are worth seeing, they actually make an impression and they're worth the money that they get. So yeah, I don't know what it is though specifically that draws me to them so much.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you are the surrogate for the public in this conversation because everybody I think tends to feel the same way. People like going to see superhero movies, but are you getting sick of them at all? You guys getting sick of superhero movies at all?
I'm getting sick of Marvel. Marvel exhausts me at this point. Every time I hear that they're coming out with a new show or a new movie, I just kind of roll my eyes.
I'll agree with the shows. The shows tire me.
The shows are awful.
I feel like with movies, though, I always end up liking Marvel movies more than DC, and it always disappoints me, except for Wonder Woman. I mean, that movie was flawless.
Wonder Woman was like God's.
It was so good.
Did you see Wonder Woman, Garrison?
I haven't seen Wonder Woman, but
what are you doing? You're just too busy getting tattoos, right?
I think he's referring to my the Dark Knight tattoo for anybody listening.
Garrison, Garrison's got a, where is your Dark Knight tattoo? Can you tell us more about that?
That's on my back.
Okay.
I got that when I was not on my lower back, in a respectable area on my back. It was when I was 18, as soon as I possibly could, I think. And The Dark Knight was just my favorite movie at that time. And I don't regret it at all. I still really enjoy that movie, and I enjoy The Dark Knight Batman.
Mm-hmm.
We were saying recently about Wonder Woman being amazing. I think Wonder Woman was just, like, a ploy, though. Like, I wasn't excited to go see it because I could see it was just DC building their universe because there wasn't going to be a lot of Superman in the next film. And the reason Superman and Batman versus Superman did so well was because of the two huge names. So I think they're trying to, like, build up the name of Wonder Woman to have a successful film this time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just... I don't really care about DC. Yeah. I don't think it's about the amount of movies that have come out. I think it's just that Marvel started out first, so to speak, with these big feature films.
Okay.
And like they filled up the main quota that I want for superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really want to add any more to my watch list.
So you're done with superheroes.
Yeah,
you
I can't wait to see Thor, the new Thor that just came
so
out with.
Good. I really liked it.
Yeah. But I think it's just because it came out a while ago and I want to continue that story. I don't want to add anything new. I'm worn out. I'm tired of superheroes.
You're done with additional franchises.
Yes.
Well, where's the line there, though? Because all the Marvel movies are part of the same franchise, technically. Like, there's a Black Panther movie coming out in February. That's a new character.
But he
was still introduced in a different film, and it's going to be continuing on those same stories. Are you sick of seeing new characters?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Really?
So there's levels in my mind. Black Panther is, he came later, so it's kind of like a B level. Like Thor is an A level, Iron Man's an A level. And those characters that had those franchises first and they've been building the longest, those are the films I want to continue. And I just don't want to explore anything other than that because I don't have time. I'm more restricted to a couple of characters.
Okay, Cheyenne, can you respond to that?
Oh, I don't know how. honestly, like, every time I think of Marvel movies...
Well, here's the thing. I'm going to give you a second to collect your thoughts there. But here's the thing is that Garrison just took a long rant about how he doesn't like seeing additional characters being added in. You said you liked the Justice League movie, okay?
I did.
And the Justice League movie, cold open, introduced three brand new characters, right?
Poor man. You had
the Cyborg, who... It's just a sad Batman.
Yeah.
And you have Aquaman, who's just a slightly sillier Batman. And you have The Flash, who is, I guess he's awkward. But anyways, that's three new characters they're introducing in that movie that they're planning to offshoot into their own franchises. Now, obviously, you are more okay with this. That does not sound like, is that your cup of tea? Do you care about those characters?
I wouldn't because there's already the Marvel characters and they came first. So like, there's still that point. But even... If I wanted to explore more stories, they did it backwards. They should have had cool movies that like were standalone of each of those characters, and then done Justice League like the Avengers did.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way that you draw people into a film as dynamic as Justice League could have been.
Okay.
The way I see DC doing it though is like they're more staying true to their comics. Like from what I remember.
Mm-hmm.
Aquaman and Cyborg.
Cyborg.
They didn't have.
Who's
their
terrible, by the way, just awful.
Agree to disagree, but they didn't have their standalone comics. I think they started in the Justice League. This is the big thing. Darkseid came, and oh my God, badness! So they all came together, and then after that, they did their own standalone thing.
Like in the comic books.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the thing that sort of goes against your argument there is that's these characters have been around a lot longer, right? Most of the DC characters have been around a lot longer than the Marvel characters.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the Marvel characters are just ripoffs of DC characters that came about in, like, the golden age of comic books.
So you're saying Cyborg came before Iron Man?
I don't know about Cyborg. I don't know about Cyborg.
Because he seems
but
like
Batman
a
knockoff. Batman came before Iron Man, and Iron Man is definitely a Batman knockoff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So... Any other thoughts on superhero fatigue? Anybody?
I feel like I'm the most neutral. Like, I feel like I just enjoy them. I go and see them. I'm not too critical of them unless they're particularly bad. But
mm-hmm.
I don't really have a side that I choose.
Are there too many superhero movies, though?
Way too many.
I think it depends. I think, it, like, once they start churning them out, like, every other month you hear about a new one that's going to come out. It's going to be another spinoff. It's going to be another show. Like Shai said about the Netflix shows you see all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that becomes really excessive because I also know they're not all done well.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like to draw in audiences to watch them, and then that's why they're there. They're not particularly engaging or creative. But, yeah, I don't know. I enjoy the movies mostly, so... Yeah, I haven't seen Justice League, though, so I'll have to wait on that one.
I would recommend skipping it. But check out the article in the latest issue of the newspaper. That is definitely going to be worth reading. And just kind of moving on from there and talking about engagement with properties. Now, there's an article in the latest newspaper about role-playing games. Can you tell us a little bit more about that article, Cheyenne? What do you know about it?
What do I know about it?
Yeah.
What about Stranger Things? That's where I learned about the Community episode and Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Both like had a little bit of a focus around role-playing games and Dungeons and Dragons.
Well, I think it's like had a huge influence on
the popularity
right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there's a market for niche things, and role-playing games, the physical game, seems to be like a niche of video games, although they preceded them. I think that like people that enjoy these types of games are also going to enjoy Dungeons and Dragons, and it doesn't matter what time it is. It's different from other video games,
yeah.
And like
mm-hmm.
people will enjoy it.
Yeah, Dungeons and Dragons is more of a tactile experience,
right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So none of you have ever played role-playing games?
No.
None of you?
Yeah, not like Dungeons and Dragons.
No,
yeah,
right?
No.
My friends always keep trying to get me to play it, but I don't know. It just seems like it takes a lot of time. You know?
I also think there's like a stigma against it too, because when people hear Dungeons and Dragons, I think they associate with a certain crowd of people, and I think that's kind of what made people hesitant to get into it, like mainstream-wise.
Mm-hmm.
But I think things like Garrison said with Stranger Things and Community and shows like that, like showing like what the game is kind of like, I think that makes it more like acceptable for people to kind of understand and engage with.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but
yeah.
It's also had like a huge influence. Like my favorite video game writer, David Guiden,
yeah,
he like played Dungeons and Dragons religiously.
Yeah, I think with a lot
younger.
Of video game creators, that would be a huge influence for
yeah.
them. Yeah.
Can we just back up for a second? You said your favorite video game writer?
Yeah.
Can you tell me about that?
Okay, so I always like, for me, like, anything I approach, I always look at characters. I love characters so much. Character development is the best. And he always writes, like, the best characters. So he wrote the Dragon Age series, and
okay.
he was the lead writer for it. He actually, like, designed the whole world and everything, but his most famous characters were Fenris and Solas, and they're just, like, these really angsty, sad people. And he also, like, writes books and everything based on the video games, but they're all just, like, really in-depth and just so engaging, and I love it so much, and he actually like makes me want to write for video games. Shout out to David Dayton, wherever you
inspirational.
Are
inspirational. I
yeah.
like it.
I've never thought of a video game writer being a thing. I think that's interesting, because that's the thing is the video games that you play nowadays are really directly influenced by role-playing games like
oh,
Dungeons
yes,
and Dragons
yeah.
right, like even the systems are exactly
mm-hmm.
the same. So I guess that makes sense. Did you have any other thoughts on that, Garrison? Video game stories or Dungeons and Dragons?
I think it's a very interesting topic, especially you bringing up story development. I think I've been following the Battlefront 2 came out, and there's a lot of controversy around EA.
Is that Star Wars?
That
yeah.
is Star Wars.
Okay.
A lot of controversy.
Yeah, and it's kind of like the second wave of like a really excellent visual game, but I played Star Wars Battlefront 2, like the classic 2005 version, and at that time I was 8, so I was also playing. My dad broke his power washer, so we cut off the hose, and then that was my rifle, and I pretended to be a clone trooper and all that kind of stuff at that time. And I think there's a deep the people that are playing video games and buying video games, I think 25 to 30 is the people that spend the most money on video games.
Okay.
They were like me, and they imagined their own stories, and the story is very, very important to them, because I created my own stories in my own mind as well, and that's why I love video games. It's
mm-hmm.
it's right there for me. And I think EA didn't pay enough attention to that. They don't have a campaign or Galactic Conquest, I know a lot of people wanted, and stuff like that with story to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it is something that's very important, and
mm-hmm.
I appreciated your point.
Yeah.
Do you think that's important to video games?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I'm a huge video game fan, and I find it like odd that like something like Dungeons and Dragons, I'm kind of like, I don't want to play it because it's so similar to video games in general.
Mm-hmm.
And I've played them like my whole life. I've grown up with them, and story is definitely the main takeaway I've gotten out of video games, not just playing them. That's like the main point for me,
mm-hmm.
is how engaging the story is and the characters. So I definitely agree with what Shai said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just sort of branching off of that and going
yeah.
back into the Justice League, I really think the Justice League probably should have had somebody actually writing the story for it, because it didn't have a story and it was garbage. Okay. Anyway, moving on. I'm sorry, I'm taking too many shots at this movie. I don't know what it was. It's just, I can't remember the last time that I felt so
ripped off.
so strong.
Why'd you have to pay for a ticket?
Yeah, I felt so strongly that this is just a really bad movie.
I actually, like saw your tweets before I went and saw the movie, and I was so scared going in. I was like, no! But I loved it.
But you see, that might be part of why you loved it, is because you had lower
to
expectations.
To be against, you gotta be like...
But I think that's the thing, too, is I went in really wanting to enjoy it.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting much, and I wanted to enjoy it, and I was still just so disappointed. But let's keep moving on with the program. We're done with superheroes for now. We've all got superhero fatigue in here. All right, so we're back into it. We're talking about some study spots. Now, I just think, personally, I think the idea of study spots is curious because I study at home, generally. Generally, that's where I get studying done. That's but obviously, people, not everybody studies at home. Do you guys study at home? Do you guys study in certain places? Yes.
Yes, I do.
Yes.
my class schedule has been unique this semester. I have classes in the morning and then a 4 or 5 hour break and then classes in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
So usually, I've been taking the bus. And I don't want to have to go back home for a couple hours and take 30 minutes to go there and back. I think that's just feels like a waste of time, an hour on the bus. So am I supposed to say my favorite study spot?
Well, you can, but you don't have to.
Okay.
It's a secret. You want to keep this secret?
Well, yeah, I kind of had two, actually. I have one that's really good. There's like a comfortable chair, like a leather chair,
mm-hmm.
and nobody's ever there. And I'm not telling anybody where it is. But I also study in the Solarium a lot. I think it's a good spot. I like how quiet it is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like having headphones on, so if it's quiet in this space where I'm working, it's good.
Right.
Plus, I see everybody else working, and that inspires me. I'm like, they have so much that they're getting done. I need to do stuff.
The first time I walked into the Solarium, I didn't realize it was a silent study spot. And I was looking for somewhere to go and eat my lunch. And I walked in there, and it was just like, dead quiet, right? And I didn't want to look like an idiot and just turn around and walk out. So that, and I sat down and I did schoolwork for 10 minutes. Just long enough to keep up appearances, right? And then I walked out and found somewhere to eat my lunch. But so Emily, study spots, you go.
I find I can't study at home. I get so distracted. I make up excuses not to do my work. So
okay.
I find it's better to like go somewhere where there's people around me who I feel like they don't obviously care about what I'm doing, but it's like they have the expectation that I should be doing something. But I can't do it. It's like studying in complete silence. It unnerves me. I don't know what it is. So I like cafes and things where there's like ambient noise. There's people doing things, not too distracting, not too loud. So I usually just go for a cafe,
mm-hmm.
not like the 7th floor of the library. That's too intimidating. I can't do
that. That's fair. Yeah. What about you, Shang?
Okay.
Getting serious. Heavy. Okay.
I've gone through studying trials this semester. I've never been good at studying before. I always suck in school, but like this semester, I'm like, oh, get my stuff together. And so I've been like studying lots. And a few things I found out was I don't study at home. I'm the same way. I won't even make excuses. I'll just go do something else.
Yeah.
And if I go to the library, I will 100% fall asleep. It is so quiet. That I'll just
too
like,
quiet.
I'm just gonna rest my head for a second, then I'll be up. So, like you, I go to cafes because you don't sleep in a cafe. That's weird. And so, yeah, I'm usually actually in Veritas all day. You can find me somewhere taking up an entire table with just my one book. But that's my study.
Awesome. And so, obviously, you're going to need to check out the issue to see the list of good study spots around campus. I don't believe the Garrisons will be listed there, but we will have some other good alternatives. Not as great as Garrisons, but... less secrets. So we're going to move into the last section of the podcast, which is something good. Okay? We close the program with this every single time. And I just want you guys to let me know something from the past week that has been good in your lives. Something you'd like to remember. Could be a movie. Can't be Justice League. Could be something you've seen or heard or whatever. For me personally, yesterday I sat down with some people who are important to me, and we drank hot chocolate and listened to Christmas music and decorated gingerbread houses.
Who was the winner?
Nice.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Yeah, no,
okay.
It's fine. Yeah, who could remember anyway? Was it me? I don't know. I wouldn't know, you know, it doesn't really matter. But anyway, it's a great time. And so, Garrison, can you tell me something good in your life?
I'm in a class, screenwriting and directing, and we're making our own short films. Something good from this week was I got to do, like, some acting for one of the short films, and I think I'm terrible. Everybody kept saying I was a very campy actor, so, but I don't care. I just have so much fun participating in filmmaking in any way. So that was something good for me.
That's awesome. Emily?
My something good, I was out shopping today, and one of the stores I went into, the worker was so helpful and so nice, and it was just one of those small things that I just, like, warmed my heart because she went above and beyond to help me and be nice, and mm-hmm. It was one of those things that made me smile, so that's my something good.
Nice.
Yeah.
My something good is every Thursday, my friend and I, we get together and we watch this show, Strong Girl Bong Soon.
Strong Girl what, sorry?
It's a K-drama. So I felt like really kind of losery when I started watching it, but it's honestly so good. It's a strong woman, strong girl, Do Bong-soo. I don't know. I can't actually remember the name. I think that's it.
Okay.
But so the last episode we watched was just like super empowering, inspiring, and that has just been getting me through the rest of my life and week.
It's Korean television, you said?
Yeah.
Cool. Interesting. Nice. Well, that's going to bring us to the end of the program. So, thanks to the three of you for coming on the show, and thanks to everybody for listening. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, shoot me an email at features@thecord.ca, and have an awesome, live your life. Have a good time. Bye for now. A quick thank you to all the staff and volunteers at Elusive and The Cord for making this program possible. As always, our music was provided by Steve Dave for Life.